Hey, commuter. Well, after a brief break, we are back with a host of new episodes as we approach the end of Season 2. This break has allowed us to craft and hone our banter, as well as develop deep intellectual questions that get right at the heart of what you, the commuter, want to know about music education. Here's an example.
Do they cheat?
Do they Botox, like the utter
Botox?
Sometime? I don't know.
They didn't have Botox back when the day when I was doing it. But
like
there was, they would drug test those animals. I'm not making it up.
Really?
Elvis.
What?
Elvis. Beyond Elvis.
Can we start guessing who it is right now?
Yes.
No.
Oscar the Grouch.
Nah. Someone else.
Close.
Green.
Green.
Kermit.
Kermit. It has a Kermit look to it.
Yep. It's not easy.
Kermit.
Being green. Okay. Let's talk about stuff.
Phil, Hockey Dad, what you up to? What you been doing?
I'm starting.
Yep.
Sure.
What's new in my life?
Yep.
Well, there was all-day hockey yesterday. That's true. Three games.
I thought you said you were done with hockey.
Yeah, but now we're on to spring hockey.
Oh, good Lord.
Then you're never done with hockey.
Doesn't it melt fast? I mean.
Then there's summer hockey. Don't forget about summer hockey. There's summer hockey.
Got it. You said you were sharpening skates. Let's go through that process.
Well, you go to the skate sharpening.
Get that going.
I'm on a podcast.
You know all these clips are going to make it. He loves to roast you right up front on every podcast.
I never do that.
You go to St. Croix Sports. Shout out to St. Croix Sports in Hudson, Wisconsin.
Excellent.
And the nice people there will give you a punch card. And every, I don't know, 250th skate sharpening is free.
So every $9,000 you spend, they give you 10 cents off.
No, I easily could have bought a $10,000 skate sharpening machine at this point, but I have no room for it or desire to learn the skill.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So that's important, huh? Sharp skates. I mean,
ding-free podcast.
Sorry about that.
No, like we could go sideways, you know, if it's really... Guest is laughing.
I would like to see either.
I know
of
they're
skate.
Laughing directly at us because
we've got
you're
someone
idiots.
Laughing finally. Well, you know, that's one, maybe two.
Christopher, what have you been up to?
Hey, I've been up to Prairie State Festival. A lot of fun down in the Illinois area there, and listening to some great music and kids, and that was a blast. Then drove back quite fast, but still within the speed limit to hear the Air Force Band.
That's not
and
true.
Miles got on stage. And got to play along with the colonel. And
how did that happen?
But they invite the high school kids up, you know, like a couple from each section and stuff. So he hopped in.
Sweet.
Nice.
And yeah, no, he loved it. He was like.
So did you go up there and impersonate a high school student just to get your tuba out and get up there?
They wouldn't even let me in the building with
Turn
the tuba.
Away.
They're very smart about those things. So. But yeah, no, it was fun. Miles had a recital on Friday night. He went to a clinic with Teepel, and Kirchhoff was there. Liz and Craig were there. And so they did that last week. So it was a busy week last week. But yeah, good stuff. Very, very fun.
Rock on.
How about you, sweet Jimmy?
Oh, gosh. Honor Band last weekend. Day of percussion this weekend. Yeah, I'm a lot less tired. I did some sleeping this week. That was good. Trying to catch up. And
What's the newest? Oh, he's leaving.
He's leaving. Well, the podcast just got better.
Must be
30.
Because, of course, the dog has to be next to me until we start recording. And then he needs to not be next to me. And then he'll bang.
Have you had any brand new house projects?
Yeah, we're about to get a lawn. We're about to get it seeded, and then we're about to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month on a lawn. So we actually did some outdoor stuff. It's beautiful outside, so that was great. We had tea with Grandma Julie. She invited over a dozen college kids and gave them a big tea spectacular along with crumpets and whatever else. It was quite a thing. Yeah, so it's been busy, but we're kind of landing the plane
let's go,
on the year.
Let's go back on that for a minute. Yeah, did you say the word crumpet?
No, it's trumpet. Know. I don't know what it's called.
It's a trumpet.
We had like the little tea food, snacky, finger food stuff.
Yeah, and yeah, I want to – let's get into that.
She paired white tea with sushi, and she paired green tea with cheese and strawberries, and then there was chocolate for one of them. I don't remember. It was
great. Wow.
Every time I would try to say something, everybody would tell me to shut up, and then they would giggle and move along. It was a great day. Wow. Great day. Yeah. Busy, busy, fun time.
I've seen that.
Oh, it's awesome. 12 of my students here just loving it. Loving it. It's beautiful.
Did they use like plastic cups, you know, like solo cups or no?
Oh, no. Real, real. That's why we had 12. We only had 12 teacups that were exactly the same. So that's the
13th person. I know what it was. One of your suggestions was to play tea pong, wasn't it?
No. I can't even because I don't want to talk badly about Grandma Julie, but it was great. It was great. It was a great event. Great event.
Yeah.
Not that she listens to the podcast, but
keep your jokes to yourself, Hopperman.
That's right.
That's right.
Filter, 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 filter.
Well, that's right. I enjoy watching you struggle.
It's just so let's talk about our guests. Have you been enjoying your warm weather days? Look at you.
Chris, yeah. Did you go outside today?
Yeah, I went for a nice long run. I actually been sitting in front of the computer all day entering invoices for the upcoming festivals. Because the choir festival is this week, first one. So I'm excited about it. But met Mark Davison at the school to pick up speakers and then entered in, let's see, how many invoices today? 87 invoices. For 3,600 students who all want different t-shirts and pizza and so on. So very exciting, but it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, you're a saint.
Yeah, I'm going to hire a secretary soon. If they want to apply, send your letter of resume and so on and letter of interest to Phil. I'll send out the address in the show notes. He'll screen it.
No, I've got an elaborate screening process.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
We get them up there right on the outdoor hockey net, and we'll put them up there, and whichever one Lydia, you know, wails on with the puck, that'll be the winner. Right there. Okay. It's like pin the tail on the donkey style.
Like a lottery.
It's good.
Well, this has been very unexciting, but started strong. Do you want to talk about the spare tire?
Oh, you think I should talk about the spare tire?
I think you should talk about the spare tire.
Oh, because Chris hasn't heard. Okay, no, we'll revert back. I taught my daughter Lydia to change the tire on that car today.
Oh, fantastic. And it fell on your foot?
There was a lot of general disagreement about the concept of going out to do it. One of us really didn't want to do that. I will not tell you who.
Yeah.
But then I said,
I think I can guess.
I said, well, all of a sudden you may find yourself on the way to a hockey game and you get a flat tire. Now you can call AAA, but you won't make the game because it'll take them a long time to come for you. You know, you're not a priority. You're not an automobile crash. You're just a flat tire. And I said, or you can change it yourself and get to the game. And I saw the smoke and the wheels and the brain and the eyes moving from side to side. And then all of a sudden we were changing the tire.
There you go. Worked. You figuring out the whole motivation.
Yeah. I also helped. We cleaned all the cars, the inside of the cars today. Spring cleaning for cars.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Good choice. Yeah. Good choice.
Should do that sometime. I still have.
Yeah, there was something growing in my daughter's car.
That's true. Now that it's warmer,
that's true.
Growing roots.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go. Let's keep meet our guest. Actually, let's meet our. We have more than one guest today.
I knew it was two.
Oh,
knew it. Yes, knew it. Yes. Knew it.
So, she. A reserve grand champion prize winning heifer at the Houston Livestock Show as a child.
Wow.
She also was Little Miss Orr, that's O-R-R, the town, as a 4-year-old. right? She also was a drum major at NDSU, North Dakota State University.
Nice.
He had a high quality mullet in high school. That's about all we got from awards there. That's about it.
I like it.
It's a good
both,
one.
Both were John Philip Sousa Award winners. Both were featured with their respective collegiate bands as soloists in their time.
The John Philip Sousa Award.
Yeah, he came and gave it to him.
He won it. Yes.
Actually. Yeah.
And jokingly, they have something that they call the B&B Construction Company in the summer. We'll talk more about that. Okay. She attended NDSU, as we talked about, and the American Band College. She's a saxophonist in her community. She won the National Band Association's Allegro Band Award, and she co-manages all-state program in her state. He attended University of Mary and the American Band College. He's a trombonist. Sorry.
Mullet.
Who plays both in concert and jazz groups. He also won the NBA Allegro Band Award and the NBA Outstanding Jazz Educator Award, and also plays a huge role in the All-State program. They are known by their colleague as the Mandan Dynasty. This is John and Sarah Bauman from Mandan, North Dakota.
Wow. Hey. Okay. There you go.
John teaches at the high school. Sarah teaches at the middle school.
Oh.
They are the dynasty.
Wow. That's awesome.
Fabulous. So let's get into disagreements right away. So how much arguments? Let's talk. What's the latest one?
Like as a couple or as band directors?
Both.
Or both.
It's kind of intertwined. Are you able to keep it separate?
Oh, yes. Yes.
They have a strong separation of church and state, or a separation of work and home. Yeah. Right?
I'm already noticing one of you being very quiet.
That's right. I was going to say, they don't argue because Sarah just tells John what to do.
Somebody's the listener. Somebody's the talker. That's how it goes. Somebody has to do it. Besides the fact, as a trombone player, I ain't got much.
It's
yep.
That's true. I have to agree with you on that one. It's it's a role that's important to be played, but nobody really notices us.
I wanted to have a Team Bauman on, as I call them, because I've had the opportunity to work with them a lot over the last, I don't know, decade, or have experiences connecting with. And they just do a lot for North Dakota, for the All-State program, for the state conference. And they've really – and Mandan has an amazing program, especially for the size of the school and the – it's just we get high-quality kids from there all the time, and they're great humans as well. And, it was time. It's time to get the team on and learn the secret sauce.
You'll have to talk slow for Phil, but give us the lowdown on the school. Like, where are the schools, like high school and middle school?
Well, I mean, it's we're the better side of the river. You know, if you think about Fargo, Moorhead is the better side, according to somebody.
I would agree with that.
Bismarck, Mandan, it's river communities on one side, and we feel like we live on the better side. You know, but we're our own small town. It's 25,000 about.
Pushing 30.
You know, one school district, one middle school, one high school. You know, it's a great place to live, great place to raise kids, and, you know, it's fantastic having our own children in our program. Mm-hmm. Get to see my kids 2 class periods a day, which is fantastic. Sometimes they're around a little too often, but
that's nice. Take it in now. Soon, absolutely. Soon that changes.
Well, she understands. She doesn't get them anymore.
No,
that's right.
Oh, you had your turn.
I had my turn, and now they all have these inside jokes and knowledge, and all of a sudden it's, Mom, why don't you already know this?
Yeah.
I don't know. So
that's how that works.
They all make the decisions without me.
So tell us a little bit more about your program. What opportunities are out there for your students? How many kids do you have in their middle school? You start in 5th grade, 6th grade, 4th grade, 9th grade?
We have a 6th through 8th middle school. So our students have the choice to sign up as an elective for band starting in 6th grade. And we start with like instrument classes. We're busy before the school year starts with marching braves, which is another topic. So we don't do like a beginning band camp per se. Mm. We literally just dive in right when school starts. And we have like instrument classes. And then I have team teachers that assist with that. And then I also have 7th and 8th grade at my school. And then they go on to John at the high school, 9 through 12. So,
yep. And then it's at the high school, we've got three concert bands, two jazz bands that are a class, and another jazz band outside of the school day for the kids who can't make it work as a class, or just there's just not enough room for them. And then we have an outside of the school extra activity field marching band. We're the only one in the state that does that's crazy enough to still do that. But that's just the kids who want to or can, you know, extra. But it's fun. It gives them that opportunity. And some kids love it and some kids don't. And that's okay.
And we have two jazz bands at the middle school, which is perfectly great because we're feeding three at the high school. We got to find them somewhere to get them up there.
So back to the arguments. How does that work?
It depends. It really does. Because sometimes
you can't see this as a podcast. Hole. He looks confused and she looks like she's about to say something, which probably is how the argument works anyway.
But in most cases, everything we do really does align. I mean, we do agree. There's very seldom that, I mean, she's trying to get me to say that I pull rank and say, no, this is how it's going to be.
Well, sometimes I'll just say he pulls rank because that makes my job easier and say that he did it. And then I can say, well, my high school director told me that this is how it's going to be. So
that sounds very convenient.
Oh, yes, it is.
I'm good at being the bad guy.
Well,
or being painted as the bad guy.
Nobody wants
to. No, nobody wants to. Somebody's always got to be the heavy.
Yes, but I say pick our battles as to who's going to win. Sometimes it's just the way it is. But we don't take work home unless it's like really good or really bad.
Yeah.
That's the only time we bring it home. And if it's really good, you know, then we're celebrating. If it's really bad, we just go like this.
Yep.
Ooh, she's drinking some junkyard glass.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We brought our junkyard glasses today. Yep.
A lot of water. Hey, the alignment part, though, is super important. I mean, I think some folks, they are their own alignment in some districts where they are K-12, mm-hmm. you know, instrumental music. But in other districts, especially larger ones, it's really important. Like that, those things don't happen just by chance. Like it has to be intentional though. Right. And what benefits have you seen from intentionally kind of aligning, getting your kind of ducks in a row?
That is a big priority for us. I mean, we do joint concerts all year round and we switch which bands with whom. Like when we're in the middle of the year, I want my eighth graders playing with his top group so that they can get that exposure and see what could be in their future as they're moving to high school.
We want the parents to see that.
And
too.
We want the parents to see
you're
that.
Here.
Too. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. So yeah, we always do joint concerts and with our jazz bands too. I mean, our final jazz concert of the year, we bring his band in as our guests. And so like one band plays and then we used to do it where it was just like one big grand finale, but it turned into like almost like a concert band or bigger because there was like 60 kids on the stage. So we're like, okay, we'll just split this up. But, you know, we used to bring in guest artists and we actually discovered that having his top kids sit in and play with my kids got every kid involved. And they thought it was so cool to be with those top excellent high schoolers. And it made them feel even more uplifted in their playing. And so that's why we do it like that all the time.
So tell me also about, I mean, I also taught in both of my teaching positions. There was one middle school moved to one high school, right? It was about, I don't remember, maybe 300, 350 people in a class. So it was nice because it wasn't like nine middle schools coming together in different teaching styles. And so that's great. And I love that you share those concerts. But I want to go back because you'd mentioned something about like instrument classes in sixth grade. So they don't have band in sixth grade. They're just kind of like sectionals.
Oh, no. Yes, we do. Well, they start in their individual classes. And then when everything is separated out except for double reeds, the oboes and bassoons are together. And I'm the lucky one that got to teach that class. I don't know who I made mad, but we
look at him smile.
It's true.
Well, you're good at it.
So. Well, thank you, dear. But I mean, you know, everybody else just has one clef and one instrument and I'm sitting there going, okay, now you guys play this and then you guys play this and it ends up working out. But when we get close to concerts, like about 2 weeks out, then we'll put them together within their class periods. So there's like up to four separate sections of band classes going on during class period, and then we'll put them in those class periods together to learn the music as a band. But then the only time that absolutely all of them are all together, and actually we have to split them in half. We have to have two sixth grade bands because they won't fit on the stage. So we name them the Lewis and the Clark, you know, North Dakota. Nice. And so then they actually only get to really all truly have the full band experience the day of the concert. We'll take them over to the auditorium and let them practice on stage. So they do get to have kind of some combined experiences, but really not 100%, except for right at the concerts.
So what's the advantage of the like instrument groups? I mean, also team teaching, right? So there's a bunch of that going on.
There is. There's a bunch. Like in sixth grade, you know, we all are given our assigned classes that we start and teach. And then in seventh and eighth grade, I'm on the podium and my team teachers are pulling sections. So every section gets one sectional a week. So like flutes get their detailed focus time, clarinets get their attention. That's in seventh and eighth grade. So we just collaborate 100% with what we're trying to accomplish and where we're trying to go.
Yeah. I mean, the sectionals are fundamentals. They're not doing
right
band music sectionals. They're working on fundamentals.
And really, the pace is what's so great. You know, nobody's sitting around waiting very long unless you're going around and helping kids. There's none, you know, it comes right down to even just assembly and getting them started and clefs and reading and fingerings and all of that. Like I said, the only one that's a little bit tricky, honestly, is the double reed because you're teaching, you know, the only thing they have in common is the two reed thing. But anyway, you know this.
I've heard these double things.
At one point I was starting double reeds and French horns. And I sincerely said to him one day, who did I piss off? That those were the classes I started, but I managed to trade out and now I got saxophones. So I get to actually teach saxophones. So I get a little bit of a break there, but no, it's very effective. It's very great for the pace. We are able to get these kids further faster. They get the attention they need. They get the specifics that they need in order to be successful faster. And I love it. It's absolutely the best way to do it.
Do you see them every day, every other day?
Every day. Yes. 5 days a week. Yes. It's fantastic. We are very, very lucky. And it hasn't always been that way, but it's just kind of progressed into that. With the schedule we used to do the every other day thing and it just kind of progressed into being every day. So yeah, 5 days a week with those kids. It's fabulous. Very, very lucky. And then like in seventh and eighth grade, in addition to doing fundamentals, I mean, you know, you're giving them the attention on the chromatics and the fingering ideas and pitch tendencies. They help with preparing our junior high all-state auditions and solo and ensemble. So while I'm doing the full band thing, they're taking care of all of those other things simultaneously. I used to be, before I had team teachers, I mean, when it was solo and ensemble time, I just stopped everything and only did solo and ensemble and just said, okay, you go in that corner and you go in that corner and everybody spread out and figure it out and work together. And now we're able to really keep going and keep moving forward and getting ready for everything all at once.
Ensemble is a big part of your program as well, obviously. I mean, it has to be.
It is. It's a big deal. We want our kids involved in that. That's what makes them even stronger and gives those kids that don't always get the most exciting music in junior high. I mean, if you think about junior high concert band music,
that's a good thing. Cause I mean, Peter never participated in solo ensemble. So this is important for him to learn about it. you know, it's very helpful.
tell me more.
John, clearly all of your success is due to your middle school feeder program. But I'm curious, John, it sounds like you have most of the student body in some kind of band experience at your high school. I mean, what's the secret sauce here? How did you continue all those kids on from middle school? And they sounds like you've retained a lot of those people that come through.
We have a lot. I mean, we still have quite a bit of attrition. You know, there's the kids who still think they can't do everything. You know, I'm gonna play basketball, so I have to quit, or all of that stuff. And we work really hard to try to stop that from happening. In a school of our size, with only 1,250, they have to be able to do everything, or everybody's going to suffer. You know, we're not one of those big schools that has 3,000, and you can say, "Oh no, this is what you're going to do, and that's all you get to do." And we can't do that. And I mean, as a former athlete, if somebody had told me as a junior, you have to pick basketball or music. I had to pick basketball. I was a dumb kid. You know, I think my own son, he'd pick football if I'd made him choose, you know, but he's also an all-state trombone player. You know, it's, we really work very hard to try to make them realize they can do everything. And, you know, band is a class, you know, it's not, and it allows you to have music as part of your life, and you get to have all of that, the extra stuff that makes music fantastic that not everybody else gets to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and we fight it just as much as everybody else, you know, trying to keep them involved. But, you know, when you've got somebody like this running the feeder program, you know, they love her to death, and hopefully I'm just not too scary to scare.
Yeah, them. You're pretty scary. No. But they've already committed to 3 years, and they try, and they're like, all right, well, I owe it to Sarah. I stay 1 year. And then they're like, well, I'm more than halfway now. You know, yeah.
I really do try to push the whole, you know, just try it. Because it drives me crazy when they don't even try it. They don't even, you know, a lot of, they'll get it stuck in their head. Well, I'm just going to do it in middle school, and that's enough. Then I'll be done. And it's like, you're not even getting to the good stuff. That's yeah. That's what I really try to push, is that they should at least try it. If it doesn't work, fine, but at least find out for yourself.
Can you can you both talk a little bit more about your, you know, the fundamentals that you talked about? I mean, if students have those fundamentals, they're going to find success on their instrument, and they're going to be able to access the literature and then go farther faster. But someone, you know, as we work, even with the students in high school, obviously there are beginners that hop in high school as well. It's like, what are some of the things that you do to help get those kids so they have a great foundation?
Well, I mean, I would say, I mean, even for us, we struggle with even keeping the musical literacy where it needs to be. You know, sometimes it's really easy for some kids, you know, especially in the button pusher society we are now, to get them to focus in and spend the time to work on long tones and scales and all of those things that we all know that they've got to be able to do to play the lit. You know, it's really, they've got to buy in with us that we're getting them to do the right thing. And it's, we're not just leading them down the wrong path. You know, I mean, most of my rehearsals, the first half at least, is doing fundamentals and scales and tone and working on all that stuff. I'm just not going to rehearse the lit, because then any way you do it, eventually it ends up with high school kids teaching them by rote to some extent. You know, as much as we say, no, you're supposed to have all your notes and rhythms and all that stuff learned before you get here so you can learn everybody else's part, it still happens. As much as it's crazy, as much as it drives us crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, it drives me crazy when you have kids that can't do stuff that I know I taught. But unfortunately, it doesn't always.
That's when you bring out the tasers and then everybody lines up. Gets real fun. I'm just kidding. For those of you that don't know the Mandan Dynasty, the top group there is playing super high level repertoire all the time. So, I mean, that fundamental component is really allows them to do all the things that, you know, other groups and some school programs have more students available, but don't play at that same high level. And the intentionality of this team's pretty amazing. The other thing I would add is I just want to maybe have you two talk about your commitment to service for your students, right? So not only do you have a program that you try to have all these opportunities for students, so an ensemble, marching band, jazz band, those things, but they both work with the Allstate program. Like, they don't only run it, but they both do a ton of work to provide that opportunity to the whole state students and the whole state of students. But they also have local band festivals that they've taken over that they wouldn't have to do. They could just... you know, but they bring in for all their local groups. Can you talk about why you commit beyond that's, I mean, you're slightly crazy, but you commit a lot of your time for other people's students as well. Benefits of that, thoughts, just sure.
Well, I mean, we do the Big Muddy Band Festival, which Peter's been out and worked with. And it's basically it's geared more toward middle school bands and like second or third high school bands, to give those kids an opportunity to perform on the stage, to get feedback and to have a mini clinic. And, you know, it's, yes, we do it. We do it for our own kids to provide that opportunity for them, you know, but we open it up for all the area and kids from all kinds of schools come and do that, you know, and it's just a great opportunity for them to perform in a different space. For some of them, it's a nicer space than they have in their own school. You know, mm-hmm. some of the small town schools, you know, they get to come in and perform in a nice auditorium instead of a gym. They get feedback, and then they get to sit and listen to some of the larger school bands and hear that's what we could be doing. You know, so it's a fantastic opportunity for them, you know, and our school district is kind enough and willing to allow us to put that on during a school day to make that happen, seeing that it is a service for the band community. We also do an elementary music festival for the middle school folks to do solo and ensemble. And we have a lot of schools that come in from the small towns, because for them to be able to pull off doing a solo and ensemble festival and their little town of 120, it doesn't work, but they can come to ours and they get judging and they get their ribbons and they all get to walk out the door feeling happy. And hopefully those kids continue, and those kids from those small towns will actually get an opportunity to be in Allstate someday, you know, and see those positive aspects. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel very strongly that, you know, us providing that opportunity, yes, for our own students too, but providing that opportunity for those other music people, you know, that's kind of what we should be doing. It shouldn't be just about our program. You know, it's about music as a whole, as a general thing. All of those kids should have that opportunity. Even if their community can't provide it for them, maybe we can help them out a little bit.
Did you get that all down, Phil?
Like to work too hard. So.
Yeah.
Phil's just thinking about how much work that is and how much, yep. who's going to drive for hockey. You can't figure that out.
We're not crazy enough for hockey.
You live in hockey land, that's for sure. But I all right, so I'll ask a selfish question outside of hockey and monopolizing the conversation that way. I want to know how you convinced your athlete son, of which I have one, to get serious about playing trombone, because I also have an athlete son who plays trombone. And right now he...
Well, I'll let him answer truthfully, but let's look now. Let's look at the work ethic that we got with John on his trombone and the apples and the trees. And then let's look at how hard Phil's working at things and apples and trees, and then now, see how this connects across.
I have a firm practice once a week mandate that I stick to. But I'm curious how you did it. How did you get your own kid to sign on to playing?
Well, I mean, he loves jazz.
Okay.
Or loves playing in a jazz band. Let's put it that way. You know, we have a lot of kids that maybe they love playing in a jazz band. The improv thing is a hard reach for a lot of kids, but he loves playing in a jazz band. He had a great experience with my wife in her program, you know, and he got to see firsthand all the cool things that my daughter's a senior now that she got to do in jazz band. Mm-hmm. And he wants to do both, you know. There are times, is he as serious as I'd like him to be? No. But the little punk.
He's a procrastinator. He last minutes it and then he aces it and then you just want to go.
Doesn't that drive you just bonkers?
Yes.
He's a smart trombone player.
Yes.
He is a smart trombone player.
Wow. That's lethal. That's
far
lethal.
And few between, but they do occur.
Yeah.
I missed that one.
So. Well, thank you for sharing that with me.
We did give in on the piano. I mean, both of our kids had piano.
I did too.
And when he hit high school, that was when
it was done.
We gave in on the piano part of it, just because of the schedule being so arduous. But we would never give in on the trombone playing.
No. Good for you. That's great. Chris gave up on his trombone playing a long time ago.
And his tuba playing.
Sitting there. I dust it.
Never seen a tuba in a box before.
Yeah. Kind of a coffin. Yeah.
Coffin. Nice.
Ooh. Yeah. Safety. His son plays tuba amazingly well. So we talked about the ribbons at Solo Ensemble. Sarah, can you tell me about the heifer ribbons you have with your reserve grand champion in Houston?
They're all up in the attic. I even got a big trophy, for the record.
Not just a ribbon. You got a trophy.
Deal. I got like a trophy. That was like a big deal to win at Houston. Houston is huge. That was like a big, big accomplishment back when I was in like junior high.
What's the criteria for a good heifer?
Oh, good Lord. You're opening up a big can of worms. I mean,
that's where I like to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all about finishing and conditioning and the you know, the musculature. And
cream like rinse. Their weight or their like shiny coat and
size and you know, I have, girl, this is like a lifetime and a half ago.
Hey, but do people cheat? Well, come on now. Do they cheat? Do
they like Botox, like the udder or something? I don't know.
We didn't have Botox back when the day when I was doing it. But like there was, they would drug test those animals. I'm not making it
really?
Up.
Really? Oh
my God. It's Texas, right?
This is a big deal.
This is Texas. They would. Wow. They would definitely do that. But no, anybody, I was like,
roll up?
My dad was a farmer and we were raised on a farm and then we lived on a cattle ranch and I always did 4-H and all of the, you know, showing of animals and, you know, they have a big winter show in Valley City and there's actually an award named after my grandfather there and everything. I mean, it was just kind of something that ran in my family. And so I did it. Oh, look at that. So I know it's true. But, so yeah, it was just kind of part of my growing up. I was kind of the unusual one. I had an uncle who played music and in the armed forces. Nobody in my family really did much when it came to, you know, sticking with band and music. I was kind of the unusual one. So,
yeah. So not only do you feed the high school band program and make it great, but if something breaks around the house, you're the one who fixes it.
I'm a great assistant.
She's a fantastic helper.
Thank you.
My this leads us to the B&B construction, Bauman and Bauman Construction.
Yes, I want to hear about that. I'm very
in the summer. Do you want to describe your construction company?
Well, you know, it's a joke as a construction company, but you know, we always have projects.
We're very good at DIY. Yeah. We enjoy it though.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of something that we can do together that's not work related. We can do a lot.
Yeah,
We've
done a lot of decks.
My parents' house and all that. We've done a lot of decks.
We built a bonus room on our house.
Yeah, we did. We can roof.
Would you like to give them the full title and subtitle of your company?
Yeah. Bauman and Bauman Construction. Yeah. Our motto is don't look too close.
I like it. Solid. That's good.
Especially when it comes to drywall.
Oh, we hate drywall.
Drywall sucks. Yeah.
No. We remodeled the bathroom and, you know, drywall.
If you're looking for marketing, there's a marching band with that same initial. You could go with, give a marching band and then you pop out and, okay. Hey, let's get to, can I do, I prepared a speed round. Well, it's not a speed round. See, you talked about a dynasty, this dynasty, right?
This is not us. Other people made that up, you know. He just caught wind of it.
But it's true. They have an amazing program, and they're surrounded by other schools that are the same size but don't have a quality. They are a dynasty. So let's move on to our.
That's amazing that after they invited you in and you destroyed whatever you touched, that they're still friends.
It's so good. It's so good. I can't break it. I went in last year before they went to a festival.
Tried to break it?
I spent like 2 hours trying to break them and they just kept getting better. Yeah. And it's weird.
Did he fall off the stage?
Not yet.
Just wondering. Okay. So when I Googled you, I did find the word dynasty. And so I'm going to ask you about a different kind of dynasty, and that is the show dynasty. Okay, first question. This is multiple choice. This is Dynasty from back in the day. And there's a reboot, by the way, those of you who like Netflix. Okay, number one. Who is the primary antagonist in the TV show Dynasty? Is it A, Blake Carrington, B, Jeff Colby, C, Adam Carrington, or D, Alexis Carrington Colby?
Did you say antagonist?
Antagonist, the primary.
Holy Alexis Carrington Colby.
Alexis.
Phil Collins. Or what's her name? Joan Collins? Mm-hmm. She was the best.
The answer is D. You are exactly right. Woo! Phil Peter, see, would you? You went to
I have no that. Idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Certainly.
My grandmother raised me on Dallas and Dynasty. And Falcon Crest.
They were back to back. I remember.
Falcon Crest were back to back, you know, on TV at night. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil was watching Knight Rider.
Knight Rider and Airwolf. Absolutely.
Those were back-to-back, too.
I love Knight Rider.
How old are we? Okay, let's keep going.
Peter was watching Duke of Hazzard.
Wait, okay, never talk about the mullet too at the end, but we'll keep going. Yep. Do you have any pictures, Sarah? Could you forward us pictures for the show notes?
Oh, I'll have to try to get a hold of one. I think I have a resource.
Okay. John, what was your sport? Just so I know.
I play basketball.
Oh, basketball. Right, you mentioned that. I had to check in on that. Thanks.
Which character is Fallon Carrington's romantic interest in the series? Is it A, Michael Culhane, B, Stephen Carrington, C, Liam Ridley, or D, Sam Jones?
Or E, who cares?
I have no idea. I'm going to say B because I only know the name Carrington, but I don't think that's pretty good.
Answer C, Liam Ridley. Oh, this is getting intense. If you get this next one right, you win. And Phil, tell them what they win.
Oh. No. Potentially a t-shirt.
Ooh, that's true.
But it's really a maybe.
And you might have to pay the extra shipping. It depends on how that works.
It's often cash on delivery.
He doesn't always get t-shirts. It right. So you send you a t-shirt and you got to come up like 32 more cents and you're like digging around.
That brings up some bad news. Custom Ink had a minimum, and so no one's getting their shirts that they ordered. So
how many more minimums do we have to? No. How many more to get it?
It was like, I think 25 more shirts we had to order.
Didn't make it.
Didn't make t-shirts. So those shirts aren't coming to you, people. So look in the mail. You should have a refund, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. Okay, so here you go. Otherwise, we'll keep the money in for the Peter Won't Fall Off the Stage Fund. Okay, three. What is the name of the family-owned energy company at the center of many power struggles? Is it A, Carrington Oil, B, Colby Enterprises, C, Morel Corp, or D, Atlantic's Energy?
You watched the show.
When I was like five, okay, maybe seven. Let's just say E or D. There was no E. Okay. Peter said.
How about a hint? Give him a hint, Chris.
Yeah, I'll give him a hint. You're wrong. Try again.
Okay.
B, Colby Enterprises.
Phil or Peter, you should not be talking right now. Let them decide.
I have no idea. I'm just guessing.
Remember how they were just talking about how much they liked the word Carrington? I'm just saying.
Yeah, we said A. We both said A.
A, that's right. A is right. That's great. Okay. Well, we'll send you a t-shirt once we get some figure t-shirts. Out.
Get a minimum.
Minimum. We'll get that going. Okay.
That's a merch tragedy. Oh, well.
That's really sad because I think Erica ordered three. One for all of them, not for me. Yeah. She ordered one for all of them. And
not coming. Those aren't coming. So.
We're all going to be okay. We have a lot of other t-shirts from any number of experiences that we don't wear.
Yep. That's nice, Peter. Yeah,
that's good. Nice t-shirt, Peter. That's great.
Gift from my mother-in-law.
Okay, well, so
my turn. You did this crazy speed round, which nobody cared about. Good. So I can go now. You have a thriving program. If you had to dream big for your program into the future, or if you had to fix right or wrong of some sort, where would you go next with this wonderful thriving program, other than to stop bringing Peter in?
Macy's.
You know, there was once
thought about it.
Well, we thought about it. And we have auditioned to do the Rose Bowl parade, but our marching band isn't big enough. Because it's all gone field band to get in kind of thing. And our marching band is volunteer. So we're not really large enough for that because the school of our size is just, it's just not big enough for what they want. You know, when we do our parade marching, you know, we'll put 180 kids on the street, which you'd think for a parade that would matter, but not so much.
Well, I know. Yeah. Rose Bowl has definitely gone more to that halftime show thing.
It's all about the halftime show, which is fine. You know, we put on a good halftime show for what we do and be entertaining. And it's not about the core stuff.
It's not very intense. It's a little more traditional too, which is fine.
Where to go next? that's a challenge, you know, cause we love traveling with students. You know, we've been to Ireland. We've done a lot of stuff in the country. Our band's was in Japan in the early 80s.
Late 90s.
You know, so I mean, we've done a lot of that travel stuff. You know, it's cool to show off our little town of Mandan and the things that our kids can do. we really do appreciate doing that. You know,
I would want to keep more. Those ones that don't keep going that I wish would.
Yeah.
I would like to keep more. That would be something that I would want to do myself. I wish that, you know, you just want to kind of go, come on, stay. But and what's, you know, that's kind of a thing.
What's the biggest, and in addition to dreaming, what's the biggest challenge that your students are facing right now? Or what is a challenge? It doesn't have to be the biggest.
I feel like we've really been coming back. Yes. I mean,
COVID hurt.
That hurt quite a bit. But just the in the middle school anyway, and I don't want to start.
As she throws her hair back.
You know, but I mean, like, there's a lot of lack of taking accountability for themselves. And there's a lot of just, you know, being kind of dismissive and flippant about, and they're not taking on responsibility. They're not necessarily showing the side of, oh, okay, this is important, this is school kind of thing. That to me is a challenge in my building that we're kind of working on. And there's a lot of needs. There's a lot of kids that have a lot of needs. And when I first started teaching 20 some years ago until now, it's gotten way more that way. I mean, I don't like to use the word I baby them, but I really do mom these kids a lot more than I used to.
I'm afraid they don't get mommed at home enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is scary and sad.
It is. It is. So that's a challenge. That's a scary part for real with
that's
kids.
Not happening in Wisconsin at all. It's
they're all God perfect. They do all the work. They never blow anything off just get it all done.
I was talking to Matt Lamb the other day, and he's just like, they're just angels, every single one of them. He's a local first celebrity up here, and Adam Beaver, same thing. He's just like, best years of their lives right now. Okay, keep going. Yeah, Phil?
I have a real question. Could you maybe share some mentors in your life that have helped you get to where you're at, and maybe why they've helped you build your dynasty? What have they given you?
Well, I mean, for all of us, in most cases, you know, one of our band directors was always the mentor. Mine was Bill Schmidt. You know, and in our little area around town, you know, four of the five large high schools in our area were all students of Bill Schmidt. And he was one of those guys. As a freshman and a sophomore in high school, I did not like him. Not happy. It wasn't one of those warm fuzzies, you know, and he kicked my butt. And then after the fact, I realized, oh, he saw something in me that I didn't know was there. You know, and that's one of the things that for me, and then of course, realizing after the fact, all of the things I learned in his class and all of the things we did. And, you know, I try to impart that to our students as much as possible. You know, I'm definitely not the warm fuzzy guy in rehearsal. Rehearsals, let's go. It's time to work time. You know, outside of rehearsal is different. And my students, I think, really come to see that and realize that over some time, you know, but he would be one of the biggest mentors in my life. And it's hard to put anybody in the same place.
Sure. You know,
just the fact that I didn't like him. And then all of a sudden, oh, wow. Okay. I get it now as a dumb kid, you know, and before he passed, he was a great friend, you know, and a big part of pushing she and I together.
Yeah, he kind of did. And, you know, when we were first dating, mm-hmm. and I was just starting to teach. And this was back when he was like the young guy on the block. Mm-hmm. And it was John Warren and Bill Schmidt and mm-hmm. Tim Fogderud. Mm-hmm. And they always wanted to hang out and socialize. And so because I was the girlfriend, I got to come along and hang out too. Because John would let me.
I got invited around. Because you were around.
No, that's totally not it at all.
That's but, right.
You know, I just sat and listened. And I feel like that was one of the smartest mm-hmm. things that I could have ever gotten to get to do, was just to sit and listen to those guys mm-hmm. just talk, those four. I mean, because there wasn't another, that was all the high schools there were here when we mm-hmm. were in my first school year. Mm-hmm. But I just remember just absorbing and listening. And we'd go play bingo with the Eagles. And I mean, it was awesome. It was so fun to hang out with them. And I remember, I'll never forget it, sitting at the bar with Bill Schmidt. I don't know where you were, but I'm like just fussing and whining. I was in my second year by then about how, you know, mean parents and this and that. And what am I even to do? And how do I get this done? And Bill looked at me and he goes, Sarah, it takes 3 years. You need to work 3 years. You make it through your 3 years and everything will be fine. And I was like, okay. And he was right. It was. He was totally right.
He always said longevity breeds credibility.
That's what he said. Longevity breeds credibility. And all of a sudden, everything really did get better. But I'll never forget that moment because it really stuck with me. Like, oh, okay. You know, don't give up. Keep at it.
That's so you guys met in Mandan?
Yeah.
Basically.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At band stuff.
Nice.
Don't say it.
Well, now you have to say it.
Yeah, he was going to say something about Heifer again.
No.
Oh, he better not.
He's going to say I picked him up.
Oh. But it's everybody will think it's a lie because nobody ever picks up a trombone player.
Well, that's valid. Phil?
No. Well, you know, I'll revert back to the beginning of the podcast. Allison kind of was like, who are, what? Yeah, my wife. She's a concert master. I married a concert master. Well, we're all going to the pool hall after rehearsal, and can I give you a ride? And she was like, okay. So she got in my car, and I was so distracted, sort of losing it, that I popped a curb, and the tire exploded.
Back to tires.
And I said, oh, I can fix this. Just go on to the pool hall. I'll change the tire, and then I'll come back in. And I changed the tire and went in, and all of a sudden, like, she was willing to like give me the time of day, but only because I could change a tire.
Oh,
sweet. There it is.
Chris, sweet words. Yeah. Sweet trombone players with their tire changing ways.
Yeah, that story has to resonate with you. Trombone players. Yeah, you were the utilitarians of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I resemble that remark.
It's true. Yeah.
That's so cute.
Wow. Well, hey, fabulous meeting you two. This is it's been fun. I've been looking on the website, and you can just tell how much just love and passion you put into your program and your kids and so on. It exudes, you know, everything. So thanks for hopping on. This was a lot of fun.
Chris and I want to come out there and see what's going on that side of the river and confirm that it's as great as everybody says it is. Because
big money next spring, right here.
Everything in Wisconsin is fine, so we have nothing more to fix.
Nothing else. We're all set. Just come over.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out when we see you at the Eau Claire Jazz Festival.
Yeah. Next weekend.
Oh, I'm thrilled you're coming. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'll find you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come see his band.
Yeah. I'll make it a point to. Are you there on Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay, great. Bob has me listening to about 9,000 bands, but I will make it a point to just dig you up. Maybe he'll put me with your level. I hope so.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for drinking out of junkyard glasses. That's the best
for you.
I know. I love that place. We should all meet there too.
John, Sarah, nice to meet you.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to meet you.
You bet. Yeah, it was nice. You let John speak more. I was good. We got some words in there.
I'm not mute, I promise.
No, yeah, he really does. He's got the good answers.
Nice job, Peter.
Wow. Yeah,
more people need to know about Team Bauman. They're the best.
Yeah, they really are.
I'm excited they're coming to Eau Claire Jazz and you're gonna be able to hear them.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad that's a healthy trip for them too. That'll take a while.
Yeah, that's right. That's probably 10 hours.
Wow.
3 to here. We're about 5, 8, so maybe 9.
People complain about like a 20-minute drive to the Beyond the Notes thing. They don't feel it was worth it. So, I mean,
well,
10 hours.
It's not the Eau Claire Jazz Festival, is it? No, they are just wonderful humans, and they do so much.
It's this possible that those 20-minute commuters for Beyond the Notes had me as their clinician.
Oh, it could also be.
Amen. Preach.
Ants in my pants really soured everybody who was in the room that year. That was crazy.
I'm sure they didn't get the clinic they wanted.
Remember the year you just started shouting at the low brass and that didn't help either?
Louder.
That was a good time.
Blow. Then there was the year he did the dance. Remember he was doing
that dance again that I yelled at. I always felt bad about that.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I have a recording of it somewhere. I'll pull that up.
No need. Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Well, yes, it's good. Good to get Team Bauman. And it's been a while since we'd had the dynamic duo, right? We had the Segrist family on a little while ago, doing the same kind of a thing. That's just doing some great special things. Had
the hearts in their community. We had the Yep. Kirchhoff connection. We had the Petersons. We had a lot of
that's
lot
actually of true. Tandems. Yeah. So, but tandems. I felt it had been a while. We need to get a had to get another tandem in there. So
yeah. Well, agreed. Next week's guest is going to be in a completely different realm. Just buckle up, people. But before we get to that, let's do WWPPD. That's right. One more time. Let's do it. Here we go. If you were given a do-over button for one event in your life, what would you use it for and why?
I have a lot of desired do-over buttons.
Peter Hopper, please play America the Beautiful. Please play America the Beautiful, Peter Hopper.
Peter has more than I do.
I'd probably show up to that gig that I didn't show up to.
Peter Hopper.
Didn't hear about that. You want to talk about this some more?
Not fall off the stage. Those are small things. So many. Kid I called Butt Witch. That was a bad time. Yeah, could have do over on that one.
A good one. But you got to pick one, right? Let's pick one.
Yeah. Get one.
Phil, what are you going to go with?
Oh, that's a fine question. I don't want to burn my one on something frivolous.
Right.
One do over. That's a tricky one. There's a lot to that one.
There's a lot to that one.
So over. Does the do over imply that you made a mistake?
No.
We make a lot of mistakes. You and I make a lot of mistakes. No.
Me?
It's true. No. Do over, but yeah. That's hard because a lot of the experiences that I had have really shaped me, like even the bad idiotic things. So
true.
But I would if I could do a do over, I don't know. I don't know. If I could do it over again, I would have avoided the first Beyond the Notes Festival and not locked in on that. That would be my one do-over.
You would have joined later on down the
road. May is a really tough month for me. I just can't make it. That would be my do-over, yeah.
Was that the first one? I can't remember.
It might have been.
I can't remember who got the very first one. I don't think so.
No, the very first one.
You went small.
Was just dad. I think that was it. That's all we could afford. It was just Big G sitting back there with his Diet Coke.
The Kalahari Inn and Suites.
Yep.
I don't have a regret. I just have a generalization. I'd probably be listen more, talk less.
Mm.
That would be a do over.
That's good. Mine would be.
Well, there has been a lot of emphasis placed on the stinger.
Beyond Artless is sponsored by Beyond the Notes Music Festival. Our mission is to create and provide profound learning and social experiences through music that go beyond the notes. Visit btnmusicfestival.com to learn more.
Artless.
What?
Artless. Beyond Artless.